Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parabhajakacharya Asutara Satasi Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Before we start, I just wanted to mention this morning, Janardhan Maharaj, he mentioned a little pastime with Srila Prabhupada that I had one afternoon in New Dwarka. And I said, maybe it needed a little context, which didn't show up there in what he read. So, of course, I was with Prabhupada for some time. When this happened, I had been with him for about a year. And Prabhupada, of course, knew me very, very well. And he rang the bell. So, of course, I went in the room. And what is said is exactly what happened. I went into the room, and he was just sitting back in his asana, and his feet were out. Under the desk, you could see his lotus feet peering out from under the desk. So I came in and I offered obeisances. And he had his bead bag. His hand was in his bead bag. Very often, Prabhupada's hand was in his bead bag. As he mentioned in the story, Prabhupada had a whole flat. It was really like a living room area, two bedrooms. One was a bedroom, one was another sitting room. So he would walk around often and chant. But at this time, he was just behind his desk. And I came in, and as soon as I sat up, he just pulled down the counter bead. And that's what he said. Now I have finished my 16 rounds. He said, I can do any damn thing I want. So he was talking to me. And he also knew that me and my 16 rounds sometimes were having difficulty. So he was impressing upon me. Get those 16 rounds done, then you can do anything. And he said it to me as a young American boy who's spoke like that, although I never spoke like that at the time. But it was a very nice, intimate moment with Prabhupada as he, again, was encouraging me. So I just wanted to let those who were at Mangal Artik and heard the announcements afterwards to know what is happening there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today's verse is 10th canto, 13th chapter, text 15. And unlike text 14, it's a very nice long verse. And I can get through it, but if there's someone that knows how to speak it with nice meter that would like to lead, I'm okay with that. Anyone would like to do that, or should I just do it? Just read it through. Okay. Ambo janma janastar antara gato mayar bakash yesitur drastum manju mahitvam manyada pitad vatsan ito vatsapan nitvanyatra kuru dva hantara dadat vastito yad pura dvistva gasura mokshanam prabhavata Prapta param vismayam. Okay, we'll go to the word for word. Ambo janma jani. Lord Brahma, who was born from a lotus flower. Tat antara gataha. Now became entangled with the affairs of Krishna. Who was enjoying luncheon pastimes with his cowherd boys. Maya Arbaksaya. Of the boys made by Krishna's Maya. Isituhu. Of the Supreme Controller. Drastum. Just to see. Manju. Very pleasing. Mahitram Anyatapi. Other glories of the Lord also. Tatvasan. Their calves. Itaha. Then that place where they were. Vatsapan. And the cowherd boys taking care of the calves. Nitva. Bringing them. Anyatra. To a different place. Kurudvaha. O Maharaj Parikshit. Antaradadhat. Kept hidden and invisible for some time. Ke avastitaha. Ya. This person, Brahma, who is situated in the higher planetary system in the sky. Pura, formerly. Dristva, was observing. Agasura Mokshanam, the wonderful killing and deliverance of Agasura from material tribulation. Prabhavataha, of the all-potent Supreme Person. Prapta Param Vismayam, had become extremely astonished. Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary system in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura, and he was astonished. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future, he would see how powerful Krishna was. Purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When Agasura was killed by Krishna, who was accompanied by his associates, Brahma was astonished. But when he saw that Krishna was very much enjoying his pastimes of lunch, he was even more astonished and wanted to test whether Krishna was actually there. Thus he became entangled in Krishna's Maya. After all, Brahma was born materially. As mentioned here, Amba Janma Janihi. He was born of Amboja, a lotus flower. It does not matter that he was born of a lotus and not of any man, animal, or material father. A lotus is also material, and anyone born through the material energy must be subject to the four material deficiencies: Brahma, the tendency to commit mistakes; Pramada, the tendency to be illusioned; Vipralipsha, the tendency to cheat; and Kara, Napattava, imperfect senses. Thus, Brahma also became entangled. Brahma, with his Maya, wanted to test whether Krishna was actually present. These cowherd boys were but expansions of Krishna's personal self, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bihi. Later, Krishna would show Brahma how he expands himself into everything as his personal pleasure, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Ladini Shaktir Asmat. Krishna has a transcendental potency called Ladini Shakti. He does not enjoy anything that is a product of the material energy. Brahma, therefore, would see Lord Krishna expand his energy. Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates, but instead he took away some other boys and calves. Ravana wanted to take away Sita, but that was impossible, and instead he took away Amaya Sita. Similarly, Brahma took away Mayarba Kaha, boys manifested by Krishna's Maya. Brahma could show some extraordinary opulence in Mayarba Kaha, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates that he would see in the very near future. Mayarba Kasya Ishyatuhu. This bewilderment, this Maya, was caused by the Supreme Controller, Parvavataha, the all-potent Supreme Person, Krishna. And we shall see the result. Anyone materially born is subject to bewilderment. This pastime is therefore called Brahma Vimohana Leela, the pastime of bewildering Brahma. Mohitam Nabi Janati Mam Ebya Param Avyayam. Bhagavad Gita 7:13. Materially born persons cannot fully understand Krishna. Even the demigods cannot understand him. Muyanti Yat Surayaha. Tene Brahma Ridaya Adikavaye. Bhagavatam 1:1:1. Everyone, from Brahma down to the small insect, must take lessons from Krishna. Translation, O Maharaj Parikit, Brahma, who resides in a higher planetary system in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura. And he was astonished. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future, he would see how powerful Krishna was. Oma ginata madandasya ginanjana salakaya chakshulin militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale svayarupa kadamayam datati svapatandikam vanchakalpa tirubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo no namaha jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I have to start by mentioning, I'm sure many of you have heard it before, but my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada personally was in his garden in Los Angeles. 1972, and I was holding the Krishna book. I was given Krishna book to read, and we all went in, five or six of us offered obeisances and sat up, and of course Prabhupada saw me with the Krishna book, and he looked right at me and he said, I like the cowherd boys very much. So we see these pastimes, huh, with the cowherd boys, Krishna with the cowherd boys. Lord Brahma was amazed. Is this Krishna? He's sitting here just eating his yogurt and rice. Is he the same person that expanded in Agasura? Now he's just sitting around, sitting by the Yamuna, having lunch with a bunch of boys, you know. Lord Brahma, Prabhupada explains, he was born materially, though it was a lotus flower, huh? That's certainly unusual, doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen every day. But Prabhupada says still it's material, whether it's from a father, from this place, that place, it came from a lotus flower. So Lord Brahma, he wanted to test Krishna. It was 2 years later in Atlanta when I was with Prabhupada. And again, at that time in the evening, I was massaging Prabhupada's legs and his lotus feet, and he was looking at a big painting in his bedroom in Atlanta. And the painting was, we've all seen painting young Krishna, Balaram, so many calves, so many cowherd boys, and sitting. And again, Prabhupada looking at the picture, and his first thing he said, I like the cowherd boys very much. That I could from the beginning, reading Krishna book in the beginning, as a young boy, I was 20 years old, 21 years old. I couldn't understand anything, couldn't understand much. But I thought, these cowherd boys are very, very, sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like a wonderful thing. If only I could become Krishna conscious. I don't know if some of you remember more than me. Actually, I remember those days before puberty, when you're young, playful. So much enjoyment was there, simple, just playing. That's all we did. I grew up in a neighborhood, so many youngsters all around my own age. And that's all we did was run around all day, ride around on bicycles, run around, play this game, that game, this game. Simple, innocent fun. So you read these pastimes and you think, these cowherd boys, how much fun they're having. And then the added demons are there. That was also a product of when we were young, going to scary movies. That was the other side of life. How you like to play and have fun. We also like to be afraid, scared. I remember sometimes, 10, 11 years old, there was one movie, the first 5 minutes was so frightening, I ran out. I couldn't even sit in the movie theater anymore. My heart was beating so fast. Prabhupada, when he would write this, when he would read, when he would have it read to him, Prabhupada was there. He would see Krishna when he saw that painting immediately. He said, I like the cowherd boys very much. And then he told the little story, which I've also told many, many times. But to this day, I realize everything, it's all coming from Srila Prabhupada. Whatever we understand, whatever we know, first, we have to understand what Prabhupada gave us. And I was in Mayapur last week with Hari Sari Prabhu, my godbrother, and we actually gave a class together. We've done that 2 or 3 times. This was one very, very nice. It was in the community center. It was for Russian devotees. And I spoke first. I was Prabhupada's servant before him, so you speak first. So I spoke for about an hour. Then he spoke for about an hour. And then the next morning, we greeted the deities, and then we were invited to go to Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada, the day before, on the 15th, in Mayapur, you all saw it on social media day after day. Prabhupada's arriving at the TOVP in his quarters. So the following day we went there in the morning. And now they're doing full worship in there, offering Prabhupada his meals in there. So Prabhupada has arrived. And we were both remembering different things. This was Prabhupada's common practice. It's what he did over and over and over again. When the temple was going up, just like here, first Prabhupada was sitting in his quarters. Even they weren't finished. And this also happened again and again and again. here in Vrindavan. 1974 was supposed to be the opening, but the opening didn't happen for several months. Prabhupada's rooms were not finished, but he wanted to stay there. He didn't want to stay in his rooms at Radha Damodar. He wanted to stay in his rooms here. And then while he was here, and of course work is going on feverishly in the temple, and you hear so many chisels, you know, hammers and chisels into the wood, into the stone, into the bricks, all day and night was going on, feverish pace. And Prabhupada would listen, he heard it. Prabhupada could hear a fan on in the guest house, and he would say, turn it off. But he tolerated all these things for the temple to go up. But at the same time, several times in a day, he had me get Surab, who was in charge of all the temple construction. Get Surab, so many, get Surabis, get Surabi, get Surabi, ring the bell, get Surabi. And I'd get him. And he said, I have no toilet seat. No proper toilet seat in the bathroom. They put one of them cheap plastic toilet seats. It was Western toilet. Prabhupada said he was old man, need Western toilet. You'll understand that when you're 60, 70 years old. Squatting, not so easy. But Prabhupada said it was this nasty plastic. Prabhupada didn't like plastic anything. So he said, I need a toilet seat, proper toilet seat. Surabhi, he's working on the entire temple. He called him in, said, I want my toilet seat. Nice wooden toilet. Yes, Prabhupada. Surabhi, he was so even, never disturbed. Prabhupada would yell at him 10 times a day. I would have gone unconscious if Prabhupada did that with me. Yes, Prabhupada. He would, yes, Prabhupada. See? So then, 3 hours later, Prabhupada's ringing the bell. Get Surabhi. Go get Surabhi. Where's my toilet seat? Mystery's working on it, Srila Prabhupada. He's very excited. He's making you toilet seat, you know, for Guru Maharaj. And they're making it out of teak. A little harder, you know. And doing by hand. There's no electric around. Everything's getting done by hand. So then some more time would go by again. Prabhupada rings the bell. Get Surabhi. I didn't even have to go in to know what he was going to say to me. I get Surabhi. Where's my toilet seat? Prabhupada, he's so hard, he's working on it, he's doing. So this went on for 3 days. And every time, the next day, Prabhupada calls him in and he's, Prabhupada, where's my toilet seat? In the meantime, all this construction work is going on. But Prabhupada's saying, I want my toilet seat. Finally, after 3 days, it was delivered, very pretty teak wood, was oiled, everything, mystery. But it took a long time. So then finally, Prabhupada got it. Of course, the point was, and this is going to go on, all these different temples again and again. I never really understood it. I understood, but I didn't understand fully until when I was in Mayapur just last week talking with Hari Sari. He was telling me about the Hyderabad temple. They had their deity installation, Jamastami, 1976. And of course, Prabhupada has his quarters there. So they're working feverishly, trying to get the temple ready for the deities to be installed. And Prabhupada comes, his rooms, they were, you know, were 50% done. There was a doorway, Prabhupada had his own private darshan, he could see the deities, he could see the devotees in the temple room without even going down. But there was no door. Prabhupada said, I want to stay there. Prabhupada said, we can stay. I want to stay there. So, of course, they hung a curtain over the doorway. They had to clean up all the dust, all the marble dust that they were doing on the floors. They had so much to do, but of course, when Prabhupada said something, everyone, wherever else you're doing, it doesn't matter. Everyone would come together, and they got it together. Prabhupada moved into the half-finished room, because that was his room. And it happened in different places, we'll talk about, but you know, again, when he told it, and I thought, well, that was Prabhupada. He liked to stay at his temple. But that was as far as my understanding went. Prabhupada didn't want to stay, I was saying the other day to devotee. He didn't especially want to stay in hotels, anything outside. So then they have the installation. Prabhupada was very pleased. You know, Prabhupada didn't hang on to things. Didn't hold grudges. He saw how hard everyone was working. So he was very happy the devotees are all working so hard. And they brought in, this is in Hyderabad, they brought the South Indian Brahmins to do all the different things. And they gave Prabhupada a ring made out of something from the fire sacrifice. Hung a special garland on Prabhupada. Hari Sari has that garland, he said. And when it was all over, after a few days, some of those Brahmins, South Indian Brahmins, they gave Prabhupada a shalagram shila. Oh, Prabhupada accepted it. It had never been installed. It was no oil on it, huh? So then, after leaving there, Prabhupada came to Delhi, and he just put it on his desk. And he said to Hari Sari, maybe we'll bring it to Juhu. They'll be opening the temple soon, they can put it on the altar. So then another day went by. He said, call Prajumna. You all know Prajumna, Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, Panditji. Prabhupada called him Panditji. He's still with us, Prajumna Prabhu. So Prabhupada said, call Prajumna. He said, I'll give it to Prajumna. So Prajumna comes in, and Prabhupada shows him the shila. He said, so, you want? He said, you take it. You can start worshiping. Prajumna, yes, Prabhupada. And he said, very simple. He said, in the morning, he said, this little Ganga water, tulsi, chandan. He said, you offer a little fruit. He said, you're done for the day. Half hour. He said, everything finished. He said, that's what you do to worship. These were Prabhupada's instructions on how to take care of shalagram shila. He said, like that, you do that. He said, you do it every day. Once you start, never stop. He said, and if you're not well one day, he said, your wife can do. He said, and eventually your son, he had a son, Anirudh, he said, when he grows up, you can give the shila to your son. He can continue worship in this way. Prajumna, yes, Prabhupada. So then another day goes by. It's morning time. Prabhupada's in the temple room. And devotees are all there. Wherever Prabhupada was, so many devotees are there. So many senior devotees, sannyasi, GBC, temple presidents. So Prabhupada's receiving Guru Puja. He's sitting on the Vyasasan. And he calls Hari Sari. He says, where's Prajumna? He said, oh, well, in the room, Prabhupada, I think I'll go get him. So he said, tell him to come. So he came. Prabhupada said to him, first Guru Puja, then Puja. It was at that time when he said that, I realized everything is coming through Srila Prabhupada. You don't do anything until you properly worship Srila Prabhupada. So that really hit me. And then I looked back and I saw so many things. Prabhupada would say something, and you could understand it on a simple level. You could understand it on a higher level. It was in Hawaii. Told you there was one sannyasi Prabhupada initiated. Big. He had 80 followers when Prabhupada gave him. He gave him first Brahmin sannyasi, all just like that. He was a kundalini yogi. He did so much kundalini, he burned out his kundi. He burned out his spine. But he was very powerful, very charismatic. So when Prabhupada was at the temple in Hawaii, he was there. And his followers, he gave all his followers to Prabhupada. Prabhupada initiated them, all of them. Some became pujaris. Some went to Pittsburgh. Some went to Los Angeles. Some stayed in Hawaii. They were going all over the place. But they were very dedicated to this sannyasi. So while Prabhupada was there, he was up in his room. Prabhupada was in his room. And the sannyasi was in the temple room giving class that morning. Prabhupada wasn't giving class that day. So all of his, wherever he was, his followers were there. And of course, the rest of us ISKCON people were there, Prabhupada's disciples. I was there. Paramahamsa Swami was there. We were also there. But half of them were Prabhupada's disciples, but they were so loyal to this devotee. So he's doing Jaya Radha Madhava, and one of his followers gets a garland and he puts it on him. So me, I'm a big fault finder. I always see faults. Not my own so much. But I see faults. I see what's wrong, what should be done. That helped in being a servant, because you always knew what to do, you know, in different situations. So I saw that he put the garland on this sannyasi. But then I'm looking at Prabhupada on the Vyasasan, a picture of Prabhupada. There's no garland. So I got up. I thought, that's not right. Anyway, there were other things that were going on. Some of the GBC people, they were complaining about this sannyasi. He had his own style. It wasn't ISKCON style. And they were telling Prabhupada. So Prabhupada brought him into the room. And the other sannyasis are there, GBCs there, and I'm sitting there. And they start. And Prabhupada spoke. Prabhupada was expert. Prabhupada didn't accuse. Prabhupada didn't say, you don't shave your head. He said, they say, you're not shaving your head. He said, well, Prabhupada, if I shave my head, I get a cold. Prabhupada said, we're in Hawaii. You get a cold? They say, you don't carry your danda when you travel. Well, Prabhupada, when you go on the airplane, this is 1974, you go on the airplane, they don't like you having danda. Prabhupada points to his secretary. He said, Paramahamsa Swami, he's traveling with me all over the world. He's carrying his danda. Then me, who never says anything, I said, Prabhupada, yes. I said, in the temple this morning, so I told him what I saw. I said, they put a garland on him. I said, but you had no garland. Prabhupada looked at me, looked at him. He said, he has a point. So this is our process. Whatever we do, you have to worship the spiritual master first. He's our entrance. Here in Vrindavan, we know this. First thing you'd come in the doors, Prabhupada's samadhi. Prabhupada on the Vyasasan. Prabhupada on the altar. he didn't make big points about this, what we should do, but he showed us constantly that we have to worship him first, most important thing. I remember in 1973, Los Angeles, New Dwarka. I liked serving Prabhupada in New Dwarka. Prabhupada knew it. He knew I liked New Dwarka very much. When we arrived there the one time, after being there for, he would stay there for sometimes a month or more. I had so many assistants doing his clothes, making special preparations. It was so easy there, unlike India. It's always difficult. The one time Prabhupada arrived in L.A. and he's in his room, and he goes, "So, Sruta Kirti Maharaj, how do you like it here in New Dwarka?" He knew I liked it. I said, "Oh, very nice, Prabhupada." "Yes," he says, "very nice." But at that time, they had moved ISKCON Press to Los Angeles from New York, from Brooklyn, New York. And they had a massive, now already Rameshwari, he was Brahmachari, and he was in charge, BBT, book distribution, on every level. They had this massive warehouse for Prabhupada's books. I don't know to say how many, maybe 50,000 square feet would come into meters, you know, 20,000 square meters or something, and very, very high, two-story high ceiling. Books everywhere, Prabhupada's books. They're printing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of books, Bhagavad Gita's, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second canto, third canto. Devotees are distributing these books, fourth canto, fifth canto, Sri Upanishad, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. Sometimes they say, "Prabhupada, should we distribute, you know, fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam? Is it okay?" Prabhupada said, "Any book, just distribute." He made no distinctions. Any book, he said, you distribute. So Prabhupada was just by the temple. Big warehouse, and that big sign, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And Rameshwar was so happy. We get happy. We get proud. Prabhupada mentions that. If I have time, I might read a little something. All devotees are proud of their service. Whatever you do, whether you're cooking, cleaning the floors, the deity worship, distributing books, we should be proud of that service. We should also be proud of everyone else's service, not distinctions. "Oh, I'm doing this service. This is better. I'm serving the deity on the altar. You're only washing the floors." No. Prabhupada said that's not Krishna consciousness. All the same, transcendental. Devotee sees all service on transcendental level. But Prabhupada stood and he looked at the sign. He looked at Rameshwar. He said, "Where's my name?" So all it said was Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. He said, "It must say Founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." Over and over again, we would jump. We would jump, think we're just doing this, doing that, we're doing our service. Everything through Srila Prabhupada. No other way. First thing you have to understand, it's all by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Everything within ISKCON, whatever you're doing, everyone here, it's by Prabhupada's mercy. So I said to them, they brought Prabhupada Murti in the TOVP. He's the Murti that's going to sit in the temple room there. Now he's sitting, he's in the sitting room. Beautiful. And he has this little smile. I still can't get used to the smile myself. But he has a kind of a smile. His profile looks very, I like very, very much. And he's beautiful, Lochan Prabhu, who's made all the murtis. And of course his life-size murti. Everything is wonderful. In the morning, we carried little Prabhupada from the temple to the TOVP. Two devotees had him on the palanquin. And I got to put Lord Narsingadev's padukas on my head and carry them over for a half hour. Just having my arms up for a half hour was very, very difficult. It was very, very hot. But everything was brought over there, and they had the full-size murti behind a curtain all afternoon. Those of you to watch some of the ceremonies. I said to Braja Vilas, I said, you're bringing Prabhupada into his room now in the TOVP. I said, your life is finished. Because just like what he did here, like what he did in Mayapur, everywhere, Prabhupada would go into his unfinished rooms. And I realized it wasn't because he was just so attached to being at the temple. It's because first we have to worship Srila Prabhupada. First we have to make everything for him. Then the deities. Not the other way around. First we have to worship the spiritual master. I saw it all the time when I traveled with him. Happened in Mayapur, unfinished room, no bathroom, no running water. Prabhupada was sitting there. Because he was making sure that we weren't committing offenses by diverting our attention away from him, away from serving him. It wasn't just the personal servant who's serving him, everyone. I say that in class so many times. Everything is personal. We're all serving Prabhupada personally. We're all serving our spiritual master. It's personal. So that was what I took away after being with my godbrother Harisari Prabhu, being there in Mayapur. Mayapur's most overwhelming place. I came back. 4 days I was there. Somebody said, you're back already? I said, yeah, I have to come back to Vrindavan. Mayapur is a very special place. But I could see, Prabhupada said, this is my place of worship. Boy, they carry on worship there. That day, if you watched, saw the fire jug in the afternoon, got big, big plates of grains throwing on. And then at the end, they threw a bucket of camphor into the fire. And the fire went up like 30 feet in the air. And all the young brahmacharis, the gurukulas, all chanting their mantras. They all got their little hats on and everything. And I said, this, Prabhupada said, this was his place of worship. I like this mood, Prabhupada's home. Vrindavan is Prabhupada's home. But just like when we're with the spiritual master, what did Prabhupada say? He says how dangerous service, two dangerous services, what are they? Yes, worshiping the deity and personal service to the guru. Dangerous services because you can become familiar. So we're here in Prabhupada's home. So we have to understand that principle. Don't take anything for granted here. Krishna Balaram, they're overseeing everything for Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada did everything. And first he said, get my place together. So I really came to this whole other understanding of what he was doing. He wasn't giving us the opportunity to commit any offenses to him by trying to step over. Oh, we've got to take care of the deity, got to take care of the deity. Yes, yes, we do. But Prabhupada told Prajumna, first Guru Puja, then you go on and do your seva, your puja to your deity, the puja in the temple, whatever it is. In Mangal Arti, what do? Offer prayers to the spiritual master, first thing in the morning, And then, of course, Prabhupada's Guru Puja every morning. So, And we do this properly, and someday, like Prabhupada, we can say, I like the cowherd boys very much. This is our goal. Very wonderful goal. That's what Prabhupada said. I just want to go back to the spiritual world and eat kachori and lagdu with Krishna. This is our goal. Not to become attached here, doing so many things, attached to my room, my phone. No, our goal is Krishna. So we have a few minutes left. Panchagoda Prabhu. Yes. Microphone.
So Krishna is the guru inside as Paramatma. He says I'm represented externally, I'm not the guru. So when he says I am the guru, I mean it's like the guru is just like Krishna because he's representing Krishna, so the guru has to be following also the guru parampara and whatnot. So how do we understand the guru within Krishna is giving us perfect knowledge, and then our guru is also like Krishna giving perfect knowledge?
Serving God, Prabhupada would say.
Yes, serving God.
Serving God and serving God.
How do we evaluate that?
Of course, that's, you know, Krishna guru in the heart, super soul in the heart. Just like you and I came to Krishna consciousness, we had some desire there, and they directed us to the guru. So until that point, like Prabhupada would say, in that one interview, was in New York City, and you know, in America, and the reporter said, "So, do you talk to God?" You know, people say they talk to God. They put you in a hospital, mental hospital, you know, if you think you're hearing voices, people are talking to you. That's not a good sign. And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna talks to me. And the reporter got a little bit taken back. And then Rameshwar, and this happened a few times while I was with Rameshwar, his disciple started to explain what Prabhupada means is through the Shastra, through the books, in this way, Krishna speaks through Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, no. He said, Krishna speaks to me. So that's the goal. But until we reach that point, we take our understanding of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. I know a few times Prabhupada came to me in a dream here and there, you know, and he said things that were bona fide, very amazing things, just like he would say. But I never, you know, somebody say, well, ask Prabhupada, you know, go in Prabhupada's room and talk to him, see what he says. You know, I haven't heard a response yet. I keep waiting when he'll talk to me, actually talk to me. But we have so many wonderful devotees to help us this morning with the verse. I was saying, any questions come, I'm going to direct them to these two, Prabhu and Maharaj, there to answer. And I was thinking what questions might get asked. But Prabhupada's there. And he said, all the answers are in my books. He always said that. He also always said, if you didn't hear me say it, I didn't say it. So he wasn't one for just somebody said, Prabhupada said, you know, somebody said, that their mother said, that Prabhupada... No, he didn't like that. He liked what was in his books. And we know that as well. Sometimes we have questions. What do? We open up Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. Just open it up. Pick a page and you find your answer right in front of you. When Prabhupada would speak in class, so many devotees would say, he was speaking right to me. You know, he was answering my questions, answering my doubts. So it's there. The process is, it works, you know. And it's not always easy. Sometimes the answers that come, they're not easy answers. I've never gone before the deities or Prabhupada and say, I surrender. Whatever it takes, just do it. But I did it. Yesterday, I said, I give up. I can't fix anything. I can't do anything. I have no understanding. I said, just take control. Because Prabhupada said they take control. Give it to them. Give it to Krishna Balaram. Give it to Gaur Nitai. You have some issue. Tell them. They can do anything. And they do it all the time. We've seen here. Prabhupada's home. So remember, Prabhupada's home. Very special place. And Prabhupada's right there. He's here, he's here, he's with us. But he's right there. His body is right there at the samadhi. So we're blessed. Just to be here, we're blessed in so many ways. You all have to pray that us Westerners on our tourist visas, pray that they extend us. None of us want to leave. And now they're getting to that point. So you have to leave. They're opening up. But now they're not opening up so much. So anyway, you say prayers for us, so we get to remain in Vrindavan. None of us want to leave. Yeah, we all want to stay here. We can take another question.
I have some.
For Maharaj?
One was that when I gave class on the first day of Kartik, it was a nice devotee named Pankajan Prabhu was asking whether there's a difference between this Vrindavan, because I made the point that wherever Srila Prabhupada said, wherever there's Radha Krishna installed, that is none different from Vrindavan. Yesterday evening we spoke. Can you explain how Srila Prabhupada would sit here and come here and explain that? Can I have something else?
Can I explain?
Yes,
well, I said because I said the Maharaj. I said very nice, and we accept it. Prabhupada, that's what he did everywhere he went. He brought Vrindavan with him, and he put Vrindavan there. So many places, hundreds and hundreds of places around the world. I said, but Prabhupada also said, here in Vrindavan, when you do 1%, he said it's 100%. So there's a chintya beta beta is there. There's oneness and difference. You know, Prabhupada also said in 72 in his room in Radha Damodar temple, devotee said, well, Prabhupada, who's guru? Because Prabhupada said all these people in Vrindavan, these Brijbasis, you know, they're special. He said, better just pay your respects and you do your own business. He said, well, who's their guru? Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, Krishna's the guru. So Vrindavan, of course, has its very unique attributes that are unlike anywhere else. Right? People, you're born in Vrindavan. And then the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, Guru Das said, Prabhupada, we're very fortunate because we have you and Krishna here in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada just said, Hare Krishna. Yeah. So, Prabhupada, of course, Prabhupada, his whole movement was preaching. You spoke about it. Some of you spoke to Bhajananandi, Ghostananandi, best preachers of Bhajananandi who goes and performs, does his preaching work. So that's what Prabhupada wanted. And preacher, you have to carry Vrindavan. If you're traveling around the world preaching, that mood to give Krishna to everyone, then Krishna's right there. Wherever there's Krishna, his paraphernalia is there, his home is there, everything is there. But Vrindavan has a very special, this temple, and I speak to others, someone just yesterday, when Mataji was saying, I haven't been to any other temples here in Vrindavan. I said, either have I. Very content just to be here. Prabhupada's home, Krishna Balaram Mandir. Other temples are all very wonderful. Huh? But I remember on morning walks, Prabhupada would just walk around on the streets, walk up and down here, Radha Damodar Temple, he would take his walks, go along the Jamuna. And then he would come back to his place. And that's how he trained us. That's how he trained me. You don't go anywhere, told me, literally said, 24 hours a day, you just sit in your room. Wasn't allowed to go wasn't allowed to go Loy Bazaar shopping, not that I wanted to. One day here in Vrindavan, in September 1974, when Prabhupada had been very, very ill, and I was there 24 hours a day, and I had Kuladri, my good friend from New Vrindavan, from when I first joined in 1971. He was here at that time. So together we were taking care of Prabhupada, giving him massages, doing whatever. So then finally, Prabhupada was feeling better. He rang his bell, I went in the room, he said, get Kaladri. So I went and got Kaladri, we both went back in the room, offered obeisances. And Prabhupada looked at us. He said, you've been doing very nice service, he said. He said, now, just like two Brahmin boys, he said, you go spend a day at the Jamuna. He said, and just sit by the Jamuna, take bath in the Jamuna. It's like we had earned it, but literally couldn't do it without his permission. And we went to the Jamuna, we took a dip, and it was back in those days. And we grabbed the clay, and we covered ourselves from head to toe. We just laid there in the sun, just because Prabhupada told us to. And we could. It was special. So I haven't answered any of your questions or anything, but you wanted to add a point?
Yeah, one more point. If we can allow the time. Is that okay? you mentioned thrice in your class, maybe even four times, but I don't remember telling it three times. But then you mentioned it several times when you spoke about it. You said that Srila Prabhupada said, no, I really like the cow and the rice.
Yes, yes.
Several times, even towards the end. And then towards the end you also mentioned that Srila Prabhupada really wanted to join the colored boys and have kichuris with them and some of them. In fact, I heard one talk that Srila Prabhupada said the copper fiction trees in Vrindavan would be the kichuris also. As a lecture. So I may be building something else, but I just need to be all, because you had so much personal association with Srila Prabhupada. Do you feel as a coward boy?
No, when he was asked here, I believe by Prajumna, what his form was, and he said, if I told you, you'd faint. What I say when he said that, he said it to me. And I can understand, he certainly wasn't going to sit there while I'm massaging him and say, I like the gopis very much. So I feel it was very personal. Just like when he said, I finished my 16 rounds. I can do any damn thing I want. That was an instruction, you know, and it was lighthearted. That's how he dealt with me. So I see that in the same way. I wouldn't presume to say, although some people have even written a book and used those quotes for me to try to pin Prabhupada's, you know, swaroop. But I don't have any understanding. Other devotees have asked him, Rishikeshananda Swami once asked him, and Prabhupada said, we don't discuss such things. So that was his response. So, and from my, you know, the way I see it, if we're asking the question, we don't know. We don't know who we are. We don't know who Prabhupada is. We don't know who Krishna is. So it just comes to speculation. And if you do know Prabhupada's position, you know your own position, then you're not going to speak about it. You know, so everything just changes. At least that's my understanding. Once you know, that's private. That's your bhajan. That's your own, you know, that's your own realization. And it's not to be shared, you know, sahajya mentality. Does that make sense, Mark?
Yes.
Can I have one comment, please? Just 2 minutes.
Yes.
Because you mentioned many times that we cannot do anything without Prabhupada first, or the spiritual master.
Yes.
So the first gate here in Vrindavan is a Bhaktivedanta Swami gate.
Mm.
And to enter Vrindavan, you cannot enter Vrindavan without Srila Prabhupada's blessings,
yes,
and mercy. So now, as you can see, there's so many gates.
Mm.
But it was dedicated to Srila Prabhupada at that time because he is the hometown hero.
Die.
He's the one who brought Vrindavan all over the world.
Yes.
As you mentioned also that, yes, Vrindavan is my home, Srila Prabhupada says. That's why we feel comfortable here, because we're sitting in the home of our Father.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.